Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
So the highly anticipated 2023 MLS season opener between LAFC and the LA Galaxy has been postponed due to inclement weather. The match was slated to kick off tomorrow at 6:30 from the Rose Bowl, but these crazy winter storms across LA County and nearby areas has caused the postponement. The match will now be played on Tuesday, July 4th, with a kickoff time at 7:30 p.m. So if you have tickets to that, hang on to them until July 4th. Bummer.
I wonder if there are any tickets still available. Like, are there any tickets like you can buy for that event? Like, how many more tickets were available, I guess, is the question.
Do we know? I feel like it sounds, I'm sure it would have been a sellout, right?
I don't know. I mean, the Rose Bowl could probably
90,000. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, 90,000.
Well, I know that they rope off or they tarp off like half of it.
Right, but I think the 4th of July, I mean, I don't
different
know.
Different deal.
I can't tell you right now what I got going on the 4th of July, you know? Like, a lot of people are planners and they've got their vacations planned out and time off of work and everything. I'm the worst when it comes to that. So I don't know what's going on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
But it actually kind of sounds like it could be a fun thing to do. You know, go see a really good match between rivals and then stay for the fireworks show. By the way, I don't know if there is a fireworks show. I've just decided to assume that there would be. But
probably be hot.
Seems a lot better on 4th of July.
But it's definitely going to be hot in Pasadena.
Real hot.
On the 4th of July. I don't think there's any question about that.
By the way, George, I'll take hot all day long because I'm still freezing. It's miserable outside. It's cold. Yeah. It's wet. I'm like bone-chilling cold.
Do you have your heat on?
No.
What? You don't have your heat on? You're crazy.
I had it on last night when I slept.
I don't know why you just don't have the heat on now. What do you mean? It doesn't even make sense. Like, I don't get it.
I mean,
by the way, there are a
the
few
house.
Tickets on the secondary market. Not very many.
Oh, really?
$95 in the uppers, which is like about what the real match would have cost. So,
good move by these guys, though, canceling this thing. Because with the weather, you put that out and people see that. They're like, ugh, that doesn't look good. I don't want to watch that.
Right. Agreed. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. By the way, I heard Christopher say on the last segment before Blake came on that is National Chili Day. That's actually what we're having for dinner tonight.
Really? What kind of chili?
Turkey chili.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very
Making
nice.
Making some biscuits.
Mm-hmm. Perfect day for that.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to need some like hot soup tonight.
As opposed to cold soup?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want like a gazpacho. I want like a like something very hot, you know?
When was
like
the last time you actually had gazpacho?
I don't even know how I pulled that out. I mean, I really don't know. Is there another kind of a cold soup?
I don't know another one. So
I don't know how
the only one you could come
pulled
up with.
That out. I don't know where that came from.
But yeah, I know like you pulled it out. You pulled it out of your rectum.
Yeah. What kind of soup, though? Like, I don't want like a French onion because I don't want all the cheese.
What do you have against cheese?
No, I love cheese, but I'm trying to, I'm watching a little bit.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, if you don't have the bread, okay.
But then like, oh, you know, it'd be nice, like a nice vegetable soup or like a minestrone, you know what I mean? Like something good like that.
A little minestrone?
I don't want like a New England clam chowder. It's too milky and creamy and thick.
Okay. Yeah.
You know?
Mm. You know, it's good, like a good corn chowder.
Oh, a corn chowder's nice, but also creamy and
corn
thick.
Corn is gross.
What about a chicken noodle?
Chicken noodle.
You know what? How about this? You guys ever have a split pea soup? Like a thick green
soup? Yeah, I don't
soup?
Like split
no.
pea.
No. Oh, no. I've never had it, but like I don't think I'd ever even try it because it just looks
thing.
Gross. Yeah.
Okay, then you know what? I'm going to just go with old traditional matzo ball, and I'm going to even go a little extra level here. I'll throw in a little kreplach.
A little kreplach?
A kreplach.
Wow.
I'm going to throw in a kreplach into my matzo ball soup.
Mm. There you go.
Sounds good.
All right. That is what else you need to know, I guess.
What else you need to know is George is having chili for dinner, and I'm having kreplach soup.
Kreplach.
That's right.
Cappy, do we have the... Funchy, let's get the audio of Chris Haynes with Malik Beasley. Malik Beasley Laser, as you pointed out, he is he's not shy about what this team is capable of. Let's hear what he said yesterday to Chris Haynes after the game.
Now that you see this Lakers squad with the new assembled guys here, what are you guys capable of accomplishing this season?
Championship. You know, we going for it all, and we're just going to the playoffs. And right now, we're not trying to be in a play-in. We're trying to be in a 6 seed or 5th seed. So we know what we got to do every game. It's a statement game tonight, and we got to keep going.
So,
well, let me
start. It's a little bold, I think, but
let me just make a quick comment here. First and foremost, as far as Chris Haynes is concerned, I saw my man yesterday there at the game. We were both rocking our really nice white and crispy Air Force Ones. So, shout out to you, Chris. As for Malik Beasley, George, you know what? It seems to me that these guys who were part of this trade, you know, D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, Vanderbilt, Mo Bamba, it seems to me like everybody is so happy to be in a Laker uniform and in the same locker room with LeBron James. Is it me, or did Russell Westbrook, he never loved being part of LeBron's team? He actually resented that he wasn't the guy. He was a guy on LeBron's team, whereas these guys don't mind being LeBron's guys. Does this make any sense as I'm saying a lot of guys?
Yeah, it makes sense. I get it. I get what you're saying.
I know
we're on the same page on, yes.
But I know that Malik Beasley is saying some things that a lot of people would say, geez, bro, it's been 2 games.
Yeah.
Why don't we just chill out a little bit?
By the way, what you're saying, just to add to that point, if you look at anyone that's been around LeBron and covered LeBron, will tell you this. The guys who have the best time playing with LeBron are generally the role players. He gets those guys paid in a big way, historically, and gets them the ball. He loves those guys who can shoot and, you know, defend and all that stuff. It's the stars that have to kind of potentially, you know, rework their game. Now, with Dwayne Wade, even he had to do that with him, right? Kyrie had to do that a little bit with him. The third star has always had a big challenge. Now, Chris Bosh probably did the best job of it. Kevin Love also did an okay job of it, although the beginning of that was rocky as well. But yeah, Russ, that's why I always said, like, the third star, not great. And you know, he was definitely at best the third star in that scenario.
Right, and so I hear a guy like Malik Beasley, and look, he's coming off a big night, right? He's 7-for-11 from three-point range. He leads the Lakers with 25 points on a night where Anthony Davis only scores 12, and on a night where LeBron only scores 13 and has kind of a really rough night from the field. But what's so interesting to me about what I think this team can be, George, is that guys who were 3, 4, 5, 6, let's say, on the roster, call it 2 weeks ago, are now 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
You know, Austin Reeves can come off the bench and have a nice night. Mo Bamba can play 22 minutes and actually hit a couple of threes, which was kind of cool to see. Dennis Schroeder only has to play, let's just 26, 27 minutes. You don't need Dennis Schroeder and Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura and Wenyen Gabriel. You don't need these guys to be what you needed them to be 3 weeks ago. Does this make sense to you?
Of course it makes sense. It's literally what I was trying to tell you all season.
Right, but I wanted Brody to stay because I like the drama.
Because you love the drama, right. We know.
I know, I like the drama. That's why I'm going to check out the Clippers.
Right, you love the drama. And all I was saying was, this: if you traded his salary and you brought in 2 or 3 guys, that this team's balance would look so much better. And it's exactly now you're envisioning it. Now you see what I was trying to see, Cappy.
Yeah, and so when you saw Rob Pelinka last night, was there any...
We brought it in.
Okay, so you actually hugged it out with Rob Pelinka last night.
So I told you, I'm walking by the sideline when LeBron's warming up, like way early in the game. We were in there like an hour before tip-off.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Ham, as he always, whenever he sees me, always says, "What up, Jorge?" And he comes, he brings it in, right? I bring it in a little quick. You know, as he's sitting down, he comes up a little. I come down a little. And then Rob was sitting there next to him talking, and Rob looks at me. He's like, "Oh, what's up?" And I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" He brings out his hand, and we did a little of that too, you know? Okay, quick little bro hug.
Was he wearing like a sport jacket with the V-neck?
Yeah, of course he was. He was dressed impeccably.
Mm-hmm. looking very.
He's always dressed in dressed. He's always dressed impeccably.
I mean, he's always wearing the same thing. It's a V-neck T-shirt and a sport jacket.
Right, but it's different variations of that.
I mean, it's really the exact same thing.
And I would say occasionally he does wear a collared shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't have that interaction with those fellas last night.
I turned around because I thought you'd be there. I was introducing you to people. I introduced you to Malika. So I was like going to introduce you to, you know, them.
Yeah, that was your chance, Cappy, to like get in the league.
Nah, I don't want to get in the league. I like being out of the league. See, being in the league doesn't sound right to me. I want to be out of the league. I want to have strong opinions about things that I see, not things that I know. You understand the difference?
But I have strong opinions about things I see and I know.
Yeah, I don't want to know anything. I just want to see stuff.
Okay.
Difference. Big difference. A lot of nuance there, George.
Yeah. You were also in on Darvin Ham loving Malik Beasley yesterday.
Oh, I love this. So was it Darvin that was mic'd or was it Malik that was mic'd? I don't know. But at one point, Malik Beasley walks over to Darvin Ham and kind of like apologizes to him for something.
Yeah, he took a bad shot. It hit like the backboard or whatever.
And Darvin's like, no, dog. Well, here, you should actually play the audio because this is actually, I really like this. I thought this was cool.
What we got, Bees?
My fault on that shot.
No, dude, that's what you here for. What you talking about my fault? That's what you here for, fam. You better get him up.
I get a better one. Yeah.
Don't turn down nothing but your collar.
That's what you here for, player. That's right. We got to cut that out because I want Darvin Ham. That's what I want him to say to me. That's what you here for, player.
Is that what he said? I thought he said fam.
No, see, that's what you here for, player.
Okay.
You thought he said, well, that's what you here for, fam?
That's what I thought I heard, but
all right,
you know,
let's hear it again. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my ears are wrong.
What we got, Beans?
I'm on that shot.
No, dude, that's what you here for. What you talking about my fault? That's what you here for, fam? You better get him up.
I get a better one.
Don't turn down nothing but your collar.
I think
he said fam.
Right. I think you're right. I think he did say
he
fam.
He said fam.
I thought he said player. I heard it like three times. I'm like, that's funny. Now that
are you bummed now?
Yeah, I am a little bummed because I thought it was kind of cute the way he called him player.
Fam's just as cute, right?
No, fam is cute.
Yeah, it's
what
fam.
What you sorry for, man? That's what you here for, fam. I love it. I love the way Darvin Ham talks. He talks like he is a player.
That's Cappy's new
word,
fam.
I mean, he was a
fam.
Player for a very long time.
Yeah. What's up,
fam?
New word is fam.
Yeah.
What's up, player?
All right. Coming up next, speaking of a guy who can't relate, is the complete opposite of Darvin Ham, Russell Wilson is under the spotlight today. Let's talk about that next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Come on, Cappy. This is all you know.
Nah, this ain't me.
No.
Nah. Nah, this one ain't me. I'm you either surprised. Feel it or you don't, George.
You're like, a freak on a leash, though.
Yeah, but like, you know, Jesse's girl, I feel.
Korn was a vibe.
Yeah, Korn.
It was a vibe. It was a vibe.
I mean, I'm like more into Korn Chowder. Vibe. Like Lindsay said earlier, Korn Chowder sounds better.
Oh, man, dad joke.
I like corn chowder.
Not me, bro. I'm anti-corn.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, not the band, the food.
A lot of people here in the Circle of Trust are now giving us concepts for soup tonight. Broccoli That's cheddar nice, sounds good.
Mm. I'm not a big soup guy. I like chili.
Soup, there it
is. Chicken noodle is fine.
Soup, there it is. Soup, there it is. You ever see that? Soup, there it is.
I thought it was scoop. There it is
no,
for the
no,
scoops.
No. That's yeah, the Justin Timberlake version.
Oh, yeah, from SNL.
Right.
Isn't that what it was?
He's wearing, okay. Yeah, he's wearing the Campbell soup cup. You know, and that's soup day. It is. Here's Joe Cha says go to BCD in K-Town for a hot and spicy. You know, a hot and spicy soup sounds nice, too. Mm. I could go for the hot and spicy soup. That's pretty nice. I mean, I mentioned kreplach. That's you know, just like a piece of, like, pasta with, like, meat stuffed in it. It's like a wonton soup, which is a very nice soup. A little pork in there, you know? So I'm thinking soup tonight, George.
Okay.
Starting off with some soup.
Yeah. Any pickles in that soup?
No pickles in the soup.
No. Yeah, because Russell Wilson is in a bit of a pickle right now.
Dude, I woke up this morning. My phone, the very first notification I got this morning was from The Athletic saying, you know, story, Russell Wilson wanted Pete Carroll fired. And I'm like, oh, I'll take this all day. I read that article, and there's not one thing in this article that I think to myself, nah, it's not probably not true. I don't really believe that. I believe every word of what I read, and I could see Russell Wilson being so full of himself that he says to the Denver Broncos, I'll waive my no trade clause, but when I get there, I got to have my own office on the coach's level. Oh, and by the way, I'm bringing my own personal quarterback coach with me. And, you know, I'm going to have the players come in on their off day and study film with me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, every ounce of what I read today, I believed. And I love that Pete Carroll and John Schneider, the general manager of the Seahawks, were like, hey, guys, Russ is going to ownership and trying to get us all fired. So what do you guys think we should do? Let's trade him. And you know what? Pete Carroll won, didn't he? Because with his team that nobody expected to be any good, he went to the playoffs and beat Russell Wilson in the first game of the season.
And after that first game, when they beat Russell Wilson in that strange game on Monday Night Football, that everyone went nuts over Nathaniel Hackett and his mismanagement of the clock, I think their radio station is the ESPN station up there, 710.
In Seattle, yeah.
And so he went on with their morning show there, Brock Heward and Mike Salk, Brock and Salk. And I remember seeing this back then. And I looked it up again because I just wanted to make sure I had it right. So he went on that station and they asked him, like, what it meant to beat Russ in that first game against the Broncos. And he said, look, you know, for me, it's like whatever, you know, I don't need to be validated. He's like, but I know it meant a lot to the guys that came before. You know, it meant a lot to those guys. And one of the hosts, I think it was Mike Salk, asked him, well, why did it mean so much? And he goes, well, you know, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, and that so if you don't believe the story, just go back and listen to that interview, because I did.
I wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying for those that don't, go back and listen to that interview. And you'll hear Pete Carroll basically validate everything that's in that story today. And he did that, you know, months ago.
But you know what's interesting about these stories that get written about teams after the season's over? Like yesterday, that story about the Rams. The one thing that I think I learned more about Sean McVay in that piece is, look, when he's winning and he's feeling high, he can bring people with him to those heights. But when he's losing and he's down, he can drag down the energy of an entire organization because he's that kind of an energetic person. The same goes for this Russell Wilson situation. George, people ridiculed Nathaniel Hackett. I understand why they did.
Well, he's a terrible coach.
He is, but let me ask you this question. What makes him a terrible coach?
Well, I mean, he could not manage a game.
Okay, but let's see. That's exactly the same thing as the reason the Rams were 5-12 is because of all the injuries. There's more to the story. Think about
no,
this.
No. But I get it. Look, Cap, we all saw the first game. I did their home opener, okay? And he's supposed to be this offensive genius, okay? And the game that he called was literally, I could get a kid who has never played Madden before who would call a better game than that. He literally was run, throw on third down on third and long. Run, throw. I was falling asleep and I was doing the damn game.
Listen, I'm not telling you he's a brilliant coach. I'm not at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not defending Nathaniel Hackett.
You're defending Nathaniel Hackett because he was your ball boy at Pitt.
That is true. He was. But here's the thing. Imagine being in his position for just a second. You're a first-time head coach. You're a young guy. You are excited to not only be a head coach, but you're going to get a guy who's a future Hall of Fame quarterback. And when you get the guy, instead of the quarterback saying, "Coach, I mean, I know what you did in Green Bay. I know what you and Aaron Rodgers, you know, did together. I'm really excited to work with you." Instead, Russell Wilson steamrolled Nathaniel Hackett. So, George, bad play caller? Fine. That's fine. You can pick that apart all day long. What made Nathaniel Hackett a really bad first-time head coach is that he didn't have the courage to say to a player, "I don't care how much money you make, and I don't care how successful you've been. We're not going to have an office on the second floor next to the coaches, and you're not going to bring in your own private quarterback coach." He didn't have the guts to say that to him. You think it's going to be like that with Sean Payton?
No, it's definitely not. And I would agree with you on that part of the equation. But what I would also say is we've seen in Green Bay, whether it was Mike McCarthy before as Aaron Rodgers' head coach and now Matt LaFleur, as the head coach, the guy who's the offensive coordinator for those two guys, for McCarthy or LaFleur, is basically the install guy. He's not calling plays. He's not doing any of that. And he already has Aaron Rodgers. So it's like, that guy doesn't deserve a head coaching job. We saw that with Joe Philbin. He was basically Nathaniel Hackett without the pedigree because his dad was a famous coach before him. And that didn't work out. So it was very little surprise to me that a guy who doesn't call plays and just does the install would not be a good play caller and a head coach at the same time when he's never done either.
Well, listen, based on everything you've just said, as people try and figure out why is it that Eric Bieniemy is now the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders, why is he not getting
a shot at being
head coach?
Yeah, he's trying to prove that he can do it.
Right, because he's not been the play caller. He's been the guy who builds the game plan during the week.
Right.
Builds but the card hands it off to the head coach.
But the biggest difference between Eric Bieniemy in that situation and anyone else is that the two previous guys who also only did the install, who didn't really call plays at the end of the day, which included Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson prior to that, right? All got head coaching jobs.
Yeah, well, look, all I can tell you is this, that Nathaniel Hackett, because that's what this was really all about, Nathaniel Hackett did not have the resume or the courage to tell Russell Wilson,
"Sure,
no, we don't do offices on the coaching floor next to the coaches. Let the coaches coach and let the players play."
Can you do me a favor?
Sure, go ahead.
I want you to have been Nathaniel Hackett in that scenario. I'm Russ. We're going to role play.
You're Russ. I'll be Nathaniel. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'll be like, hey, Nate, what's up, man? How are you?
I might.
So, I don't know if you know this, but the owners and stuff, they gave me this office up here right by you and stuff. So, if you want to keep it down, that's cool. But if you want to talk football, I got those inspirational speeches around here and quotes and stuff, and I'm down to talk some football. So, if you want to talk some football, just come over and knock on the door.
Wait a second. Russ, did you say that you have an office next to my office? Is that what you said?
Yeah. I got an office here.
Because, Aaron Rodgers didn't have an office with the Packers.
Yeah, but Green Bay probably doesn't have a lot of offices. Place is old. You know, you got a nice new facility here.
No. Okay, so they gave you an office. All right, well.
Yeah, your boss gave me an office.
Yeah, well, I guess. I mean, what else they give you?
They gave me, they let me bring my own quarterbacks coach and like basically bring whoever I want in here.
So you have a quarterback coach that's not part of my staff. You have your own quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've been working with him for a long time.
You have an office.
Yep.
You have a private quarterback coach.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And by the way, while we're at it, here's some plays I like to run.
Okay. Well, I'll give those some consideration. I mean, obviously I got to, see what they look like compared to my playbook. Cause I've had a lot of success.
Yeah.
Running a certain system with Aaron Rodgers, and I was kind of thinking that, you'd be able to kind of fill in and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, how much success did you have, though, there, Nathaniel? Or can I call you Nathaniel or can I call you Nate? What do you want
Nate
me to call
Nate Dog
you?
Is my preference, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I don't think I'm calling you that.
I'm going to regulate is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, no. Well, no. I don't think you realize. Yeah, I don't think you're going to regulate anything, to be honest with you.
And that's ultimately what happened right there. I've stepped out of character, just so you know. I'm back to me. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what's happened, is that he didn't regulate.
Right.
I mean, when Sean Payton was asked about this during Radio Row Week.
Yeah, he said something to the effect of like, well, forget a Radio Row Week. He said it when he was finished doing his presser. He was asked about it. He's like, I don't even know what that's about. Like, that's not going to happen here.
Not happening. Yeah. Not happening. Right. Tom Brady doesn't have his own office and his own private quarterback coach in the facility. You know, he may have had his trainer and his nutritionist around at some point, but yeah, he didn't have an office next to Belichick. And when Sean Payton was the coach of the Saints, Drew Brees wasn't like, hey, I'm going to need my own office because I'm going to be doing my own thing here. I mean, I can't even believe that the Denver Broncos, and granted they were going through an ownership change, I can't even believe that anybody would grant him such a thing.
Yeah, well, it happened.
So. Well, he's getting it taken away, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. You know what's not getting taken away?
Tell me.
Our ability to talk about Yamava and what a good time that is. Thanks, Christopher. All right, Lindsay, you take it away.
Thanks, Sedano. I think I got like all NFL stories here in a Big Deal or No Deal today, but that's okay because we all miss the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Starting with Ocho Cinco, the former wide receiver for the Bengals, appeared on the Club Shay Shay podcast this week, and he revealed something very interesting about his living habits when he was in the league. He said that he lived at the Bengals stadium when he first got drafted to save money. He also said that he didn't even get his own place until he had been in the NFL for 4 years because he was content and comfortable living at his grandma's house. Cappy, I'm going to ask you first. Is this a big deal or no deal?
It's kind of weird, isn't it? Like, it is kind of a big deal because you're an NFL player and you figure you're making a bunch of money. Doesn't mean you have to go spend it all and buy a big fat house. But to live in the stadium. I mean, listen, a lot of coaches, they bring their pillows and they got a couch in their office and they sleep in their offices because they're working these guys 20 hours a day. They think the more time they put in, the better game plan they're going to come up with. But I think that's really strange. So I'm going to go big deal here on Ocho Cinco living in the stadium.
Yeah, I would say it's a big deal. And he's also really cheap.
Yeah, except when it comes to tipping.
I've known Chad forever, so I'm not surprised at all that he did that. Like, that's just who he's cheap. And he's, like, cheap in like, for himself is what I would say. He's very generous with others is what I would say. But with his own stuff, he's, like, cheap.
Good
like,
for
he's
him.
He's rented out, like, movie theaters for kids and stuff like that and done all that kind of stuff. He does that on the regular. I actually went to a restaurant where he bought a ton of people meals, and I happened to be there that night. And so he does that stuff for other people, and I like he's good at that stuff. But like for himself, he's super cheap.
Yeah, I always see people posting receipts from when they're their waitresses or waiters.
Yeah, he's great with that stuff. Yep.
Yeah,
he's great with that stuff. But when it comes to his own stuff, like forget it. Nah,
he rocks fake ice too.
He's frugal. I know.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Fake ice.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, Funch, because just a side note here. Somebody asked Giannis about what his outfit that he's wearing over All-Star weekend.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, and he was like, they're like, how much did your outfit cost? He's like, well, this was my sweatshirt was free, my pants were free, my shoes were free, and all my jewelry is fake. And it's just funny to see someone like Giannis just be like, yeah, I didn't pay for anything.
It was like an outfit from Nike, and then his shoes were from Nike, and then like he had like fake jewelry on.
Just so you know, Funch, when you say fake ice, don't think I don't know what you're talking about. I know you're not talking about the kind of ice that you got in a drink. All right? I know what you're talking about there, pal.
By the way, Cappy, Vinny V in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust brought up a great point.
Tell me.
About your boyfriend, Tom Brady, that Bill Belichick, had to kick Tom's personal athletic trainer for years off the team, too. Your boy did try to do that.
I very specifically mentioned that. Very specifically.
Just saying. Okay.
And I said that Tom Brady didn't have his own office and he didn't have his own personal quarterback coach, but he did have his trainer slash
Alex Guerrero, whatever that guy's name is.
That's right. But by the way, I'll tell you right now, Tom Brady had earned it in his organization versus Russell Wilson is brand new to an organization. They just bent over backwards for him and look what it got him.
Well, because they brought him in as a savior. So
Well, speaking of Tom Brady,
the next savior.
I'm going to go right to Tom Brady here because now there's speculation growing that Tom Brady may unretire again.
Oh, for the love.
Yep, just like Cappy was saying the other day, Mike Florio of NBC Sports speculated that Brady might come out of retirement and play for the 49ers next season, even though he stated in his video announcement that he was calling it a career for good. So this is what Mike Florio says, quote, "We've learned that Brady, one, doesn't always say publicly what he truly believes, and two, sometimes says things he means and then eventually does something completely different."
I get that.
And then you take that stuff, plus the fact that Tom Brady came out, what, a week ago and said that he's not going to start in the broadcast booth for Fox next season. He's going to take a year off. So now you got the 49ers need a quarterback, and then he's not going to go right to Fox right away. So it sounds like he's got a whole year to do nothing, and the 49ers need a quarterback. So do you think that this is all a big deal or no deal? Sedano, you go first.
Oh, here it is. The Sedano sigh, 6:36 in the evening.
God, I'm so over this guy already. Just go away, bro. Wait,
no, you're not. Don't be over him.
Get out of here already.
Come on.
Go. Stop. Go to your home.
Don't hate. Celebrate.
Go home.
Come on.
Go be a father, for God's sake.
Oh, my God. Now we're going to criticize his fathering skills? Come on. Don't
Jesus.
Hate. Don't hate.
You lost your marriage because of the football already. Like, enough.
Come on. You don't know that. Come on. Come
Jesus.
On. The things you say.
Go ahead, listen, turn.
I told you. Listen, when he said, "I'm not going to go to Fox in 2023, that leaves the door open for,
yep,
I'm going to figure out what I want to do during football season this year. And if the 49ers, my hometown team, comes calling, and I know it's a little embarrassing. Hey, I know I was on the beach in Miami. People bought the sand from the beach where I was at. And yeah, I know. I told you I was done, but I'm not. Not because an opportunity presented itself that I didn't think about. And you know what? I'm still in great shape. Check me out. I'm wearing my panties. Looking good.
I don't call them panties. Men don't wear panties.
No, I mean, they were like these little, like, you know, things.
Underpants.
Yeah, like little tight, cute underpants. Anyway, I listen, I'm telling you right now, it would not shock me one bit if Tom Brady plays football again this year.
I hope
not. I'm with you. I'm with you. Like, would it shock you though, Sedano?
I hope not.
So
seriously,
no, it would not.
Just go away.
Come on. Why do you say
get
such
out
mean
of here.
Things? Why do you say such mean things to
go
such
away.
An American sports superstar hero?
Go away.
A real true underdog who beat all odds to become who he is. Why say such terrible things about such an inspirational guy?
Inspirational Man. Guy? Why is he inspirational?
I mean, come on, George. This is like one of the
he
biggest
He played in
underdogs.
The worst division in football for nearly two decades, for God's sake.
Oh, so now
the
you're
Jets,
discredit.
The Bills, and the Dolphins? He had an easy ride to a first-round bye every year, and he had the best coach in the history of the sport. Not to say that he wasn't good, but let's not make it seem like he didn't have a lot of easy advantages built in for him.
You say the best coach, and I say the best coach who had the best quarterback and the best
leader.
Nah,
he's not the best quarterback to me.
Yeah, well,
like he's the most. He's the best resume. That's undeniable. But he's not the best passer of the football I've ever seen by any stretch of the imagination.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that in terms of who won the most Super Bowls, and by the way, won more Super Bowl than Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick was a great coach when he had Tom Brady, and now Bill Belichick.
Yeah, because nobody wins without a quarterback, bro. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Bill Walsh went back to Stanford and couldn't win squat. You know what I mean? Like, it's how it works.
All I'm saying to you is that you should give Tom Brady some respect. That's all. Put some respect on his name.
All right, what's next?
All right, so speaking of quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford and the Rams, of course, they missed the postseason, and he never had the chance to defend the Super Bowl title. And clearly, that lit a fire inside of Matthew Stafford, because his wife, Kelly, revealed as much in a recent episode of her podcast, The Morning After, with Kelly Stafford. She shared the Rams quarterback's thoughts after he watched the Super Bowl. Here is what she said.
We did end up going to Coach McVay's house for the last part of the game, and you could see, like, the hunger
on all the guys' faces.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, all last year, like going into the season, there wasn't that hunger. It was kind of like, oh gosh, here we go again. Like, we haven't had a lot of time off. We left that house. Matthew's like, we're going to beat them in the Super Bowl next year. He said, don't worry about it. Because, you know, I was upset that the Eagles always said, don't worry about it. We're going to beat them next year in the Super Bowl. And I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, we're going to get there.
So I ask you guys this. Is this a big deal or no deal?
I mean, not really. I would say no deal. Like, I mean, that's cool that she said that, but like, yeah, I mean, could the Rams have an easier route because the Cardinals stink and the Seahawks, I think, will not catch anyone by surprise this year. And yeah, the division is a little easier than we anticipated. Yeah, and we'll see what the Niners have to do at quarterback. Hopefully it's not Tom Brady. Jesus. And yeah, I mean, they'd have a better shot as long as they can make some moves and help at least one side of the ball be better, particularly the offense. But
One thing, I'll tell you this about Kelly Stafford. One thing I love that she said there is how there was not that hunger that she thinks she saw in all these players' eyes at Sean McVay's house watching the Super Bowl. The hunger she saw that evening is not the hunger that she saw at the beginning of the season. And I'm so glad she said it because I tried to say it over and over again. I don't really feel like everybody understood what I was getting at. Last year, when you and I, George, went to the Rams draft house and they rented this like $25 million mansion in the Hollywood Hills where they were entertaining people night after night after night.
And you got naked in the tub?
That particular day, that's exactly the day I'm talking about. I knew that day that the Rams had gone totally Hollywood. In other words, they weren't about like, hey, we're football guys and we're going to try and get our another Super Bowl. They were like, we got our Super Bowl and we're living the Hollywood lifestyle now. And that is what, besides all the injuries and besides Sean McVay's, you know, personal highs and lows, their offseason was about partying. It wasn't about preparing. What do you think about that?
I feel like it was like Super Bowl hangover. Yeah, they didn't care.
Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah. Okay.
I think I really feel like I've like mic dropped on that one. You know what I mean?
I mean, what do you want me to say? I've already given my answers, so we just can move on, I guess, if you want.
Hey, just one other thing, George. I'm sitting here watching the Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks. You watching this game?
I was earlier.
Yeah, Milwaukee's tearing your Heat apart, but I guess Giannis left the game now with a knee injury.
Yeah, not good.
I mean, first it was the hand, now it's the knee?
Not good, Bob.
Hmm.
Yeah. Any more, Lindsay?
That is it for Big Deal or No Deal.
Okay, good. There
She's
we go.
Done with us.
Yeah. You know who you're not done with? Hopefully you don't have to call him, but if you get into an accident, especially with this crazy rainy weather, right? If you're injured in...
Do the Humpty Hump, yeah. Do the hump. Do the Humpty Hump. Yeah, come on, do the Humpty Hump.
The only other part I know is when he goes, you know what I'm talking about?
What was my man's name? R.I.P.?
Shock G.
Yeah. R.I.P., Shock G. I like the nose glasses. Those are funny. Still to this day, they're funny. So I will say this, that... I got a call earlier today from Rachel, and she said, hey, tomorrow, what do you think about going to see 80 for Brady? Now, you know, I've been in the movie theater twice. I told you, George, I saw that Otto thing, and then I saw the Fablemans.
You liked the Otto movie, then you ripped it to O'Shea.
I mean, I liked it, like, as in, you know, it was all right. I mean, I looked over at Rachel. She was crying the entire movie, you know, and then the Fablemans. I mean, that thing, I don't even want to say what it made me feel like I wanted to do afterwards. And then, I don't know who it is at, like, the Union that sent me a copy of The Fablemans on DVD, of all things. You might as well send me a VHS tape, okay?
You don't have, like, a PlayStation or an Xbox?
My kids do, probably, but...
So you can play it on that.
George, I hated the freaking movie in the theater. I don't want to watch it in my home.
Okay, I'm just saying. Well, give it to somebody that you think would like it. Why don't you send it to Charlie Kaplan?
I don't think he would like it either.
Okay.
Nonetheless.
What about your mom?
My mother, you know what? Maybe she might.
There you go. I bet you they have a DVD player.
They may. They probably also have a VHS player.
Right.
Right. But anyway, so now here's where I'm at. I got a lot of decisions to make over the weekend here. Okay. The first one, I've talked a little bit earlier today about what kind of soup, because I really want some soup because I'm freezing. Yeah. And the second one is, do I do what Rachel asks, which is, go see 80 for Brady.
Your boyfriend.
Or do I go see and support O'Shea and the Cocaine Bear?
We know you're just going to do what Rachel wants to do, so just do that.
Right, but could I convince her to see the cocaine bear? Like, hey, no, babe, I mean, doesn't the cocaine bear sound funny?
What kind of grief are you going to get?
For seeing the cocaine bear?
Yeah, if she doesn't like it.
Oh, dude. Then I mean, that could be problematic.
Well, I feel like you saying the words cocaine bear, unless she's like seen the previews for it or like the trailers and she's just like, oh, that looks like it could be kind of funny. I could be wrong, but I feel like Rachel does not seem like that's something that she would enjoy, and she might not even believe that it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to convince her of the reality of the situation, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, when I first saw the trailer, I was like, this is a real movie? I thought it was like an SNL sketch or something, like one of those fake commercials they do. That's what I thought.
George, did you think that O'Shea Jackson, who was on the show earlier today, and first time I've spoken to him, I know that he's been a regular around 710 and everybody knows him, and he's obviously a top-level kind of listener, but he brings up Henry David Thoreau, the author.
Yeah.
The writer, the philosopher, if you will.
And then you went Ralph Emerson Waldo on him.
Well, I told him that I'm a big fan of
Transcendental
Ralph
Waldo Emerson?
Era. Ralph Waldo Emerson, yes, correct.
I told him I'm a big fan of the transcendentalist, you know, sort of writings. Mm-hmm. And I think that O'Shea thought, I think that he thought, that I was messing with him.
Yeah, at which I think
point,
he did too.
At which point he thought, like, you know, am I going to have to get hard on you here? You know what I mean? Like, I have to...
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have to push you around a little bit. I have to throw an elbow in the chest kind of thing.
Well, that's what he said Pops would do to you if you tried to bring it in, which I told you, you wouldn't be able to bring it in with Pops.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then I think O'Shea was like, well, wait a second. Now that I don't think he's messing with me, maybe he and I should get together for some sort of a Henry David Thoreau, Ralph Waldo Emerson, transcendentalist sort of, you know, reading of some kind. Maybe in like a coffee shop.
Yeah, maybe just, I mean, yeah, I don't see that happening is my guess.
Just a thought, just an idea, just a concept.
I don't see that happening.
Okay, I'm just throwing
it. But I'm also glad, I am glad that he told you not to bring it in with Pops if you see him, because although it would have been hilarious to watch, I don't want you to have your feelings hurt.
How about my chest? How about my sternum?
Or your chest, for that matter, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. All right, so dealer's choice here. So all week long, you teased a story that you never got to.
Right, Sirianni poop.
Yeah, so the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles with a motivational message about a dog's poop. Can you explain, please?
I don't know the story at all. Lindsay was the one that found the story. Lindsay, why don't you tell us about the story? Maybe do we have the audio?
Yeah. So AJ Brown was on the Raw Room podcast. I think it's a podcast he does with some of his buddies. And he basically, it's like him and his buddies sitting around and he's telling them about like what it's like to be an NFL player and the weird stuff that like he sees on a daily basis. And he was kind of like making fun of him. He's like, you would not believe some of the stuff that like these guys, like these coaches tell us to like keep us motivated. And here's an example. So then he did like his best impression of Coach Sirianni and how he tries to motivate him. And it references dog poop.
I be in my chair, bro, dying laughing. I'm going to give y'all a little sample.
Yes, sir.
All right. The other day I got in the car, I finna head to work. So I sit in my car, I see my neighbor walking her dog, right? And she's walking her dog and the dog goes to the bathroom, you know, and she gets the bag off. She scoops the dog in the hand, right? Yeah, and I'm just thinking like, you know, everything she did in that exact moment, you know, how she scooped it, how she got the bag.
No.
And so he was like, so this would be funny. It was like, it's in the detail, guys.
It's in the detail.
But it's in the details. You know how she gets the bag out first and she put her four fingers together and then she scoops it. He was like, and that's what we are. We're in the details of this thing. And that's what we got to do. I'd be like, come on, coach.
Oh, it's great. That is hilarious.
That was funny.
I mean, when coaches will just try and do anything to you know, give these guys an example, it's all in the details, guys. The way you put your hand in the bag and you pick up the poop and then you pull it around and then you tie it up, it's all in the detail, fellas. Now let's get out there and kick some ass.
He seems like such a nerd, like such a nerdy coach.
Oh, man. I had a coach, George, in college, and he comes in one day. We'd gotten killed in this game. And he says to us, he goes, guys, I want to know how you feel. And he looked at this one dude, his name, he's probably listening today, his name is Alexius Perkins from South Central LA. And he says, Lex, how'd that make you feel? And Lex was like, man, coach. And we were all like, what's he going to say? He's like, man, I was so upset, I couldn't even drink a 40. right? And the whole room busts up. And coach, like, takes it seriously. He's like, men, did you hear that? Did you hear what he said? He was so upset he couldn't drink a 40. We freaking sat there dying because of what the kids said and then how the coach tried to use it, like, as if it was for reals. I love when coaches do stuff like that. Way to go, Coach Sirianni. And Lex, I hope you got that 40.
If not, send him some.
Do people still drink 40s?
Yeah, why not?
Do they?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't
they? I don't know.
I mean, I feel like 40s. I used to
drink 40s. You want a lot of beer. I mean, it's probably the most efficient way to do it.
At a softball game, I saw one guy drinking a 40.
Now, was that makes
sense. He drinking malt liquor or was he drinking beer?
I mean, he was drinking malt liquor.
Yeah, you got to have 40. Some Old E. Right.
Old E. He was drinking Old E.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I complimented him on it.
See, O'Shea Jackson? Guess I'm not just such a blank document.
Untitled.
Okay.
Yeah, untitled.
40-ounce Old E.
But he actually said you had a little spice to you, Cappy.
A little bit.
Yeah, he compared you to John Ireland, but said you had more spice than him. How does that make you feel?
Makes me feel good. Much better.
Because John Ireland is like as blank document as it gets.
Yeah. Mm. All right, we got to go. Funchy's saying we got to get the hell out of here, and we should. It's Friday. Funchy, great job filling in for Laura.
Yes, sir.
Excellent work, Cappy.
Yes, sir.
Great job, Linz. We'll talk to you on Monday. See ya.